My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in today for Annie Fry. We're doing the Missouri side of the Illinois show because, you know, everybody in the Annie Fry Show is Metro East folks. So they decided to bring the St. Charles guy in to add balance to everything. We cross both sides of the river.
That's why we have you.
You're not alone on the St. Charles side.
Well, that's true.
We're rolling together, you and me.
You weren't in here before, so we have two St. Charles, two Illinois guys. It's balanced all the way across the metro area.
He's originally from Illinois, so it kind of tilts it back, doesn't it?
I don't acknowledge that part of my life.
It makes him the smart one. He got out.
Yeah.
This is true.
I point to it this way. When the young man got married, he moved to St. Charles. So I'm just saying, when he's trying to put down roots and grow a family, which I know he's going to do, he's chosen to move to the promised land, i.e. St. Charles County.
Which, wild west.
We just crossed over 300,000 registered voters in St. Charles County leading up to this election.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, of the 420,000 people that we have living there, 300,000 of them are registered to vote. The others are probably under 18. So that's probably where we're at. They're like, you get in there and register to vote. Here's how this thing is going
to
work.
Cool. Great to hear how St. Charles is so fun and young and growing and thriving.
Yeah, not being oppressed by taxes and Second Amendment violations. And
actually, we're not being sarcastic. It's actually great to hear.
Yeah, we're super excited for you and bitter.
Yeah,
we're just bitter. There's a lot of great stuff happening in Metro East. They're doing better than Chicago.
That's.
I'm just trying to add perspective.
Hey,
let's put a good bow on it.
This is the knife that you just put right in my back.
Sorry about that. I'll pull that out. Hey, we're going to play the B or not the B here in just a second, but I was just scrolling through some news stories, and I saw that Vogue has a new cover with Kamala Harris that is out, because, you know, I'm a big Vogue reader.
Vogue usually leans right. That's weird.
You do give off Vogue vibes to me.
You know, me and Madonna. Yeah. It's pretty much, we are Vogue, right? It just said that she posed for her glamour shots. My word's not theirs. They posed for her Vogue cover shoot on the anniversary of Hamas attacking Israel of October 7th. So while they're celebrating, I shouldn't say celebrating, mourning, I guess, the anniversary of Hamas attacking Israel, Vice President Harris is out doing a Vogue shoot. It's her compassionate side is what
it's really just adding to it, because can a presidential candidate do a whole bunch of things in one day, on October 7th? Absolutely. When you have the track record that she has, every little thing matters, because her track record on supporting Israel in this particular conflict alone is terrible.
It just goes to show when she says, I'm here to support Israel. Not really. I'm more interested in how good do I look on the cover of Vogue rather than supporting you on this horrible day.
Netanyahu's going to speak to a joint session of Congress. I'm not going to show up.
I got a photo shoot that I got to go do.
Exactly.
Maybe
I'm going to a sorority deal that day.
That's
exactly what she did.
Guys,
that day.
Maybe she was trying to honor Israel by being in the photo shoot, huh?
Speaking of the bee or not the bee, that sounds like a story that would fit right up.
Thanks for the segue.
Let's talk about the bee.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
And here you go.
The bee or not the bee.
Okay, a series of stories as we do every Friday.
By the way, I love that new intro from the last time I was here.
That was the same one? Is that what you're saying? New intro as the last time you were here?
Exactly.
Okay. These are stories that are, some of them are fake from the Babylon Bee. Some of them are real. And the name of the game is naming which ones are the real ones. So here you go.
It's your version of CBS News.
Humanoid robots are ready to move into your home.
Oh, I'm going to say that's a real story.
Yeah, didn't Elon Musk just release those? I'm going to say real.
Yeah, I'm rolling real as well.
It is real. It's from Fox News. Meet Neo Beta, your new home companion. I think the reason I led with this is basically the premise of my novel.
It is.
The Life of Human is what it's called. Neo Beta stands at 5.41 feet tall.
Wow.
And weighs a mere 66 pounds, making it an unobtrusive presence in your home. But it's like a person walking around who's a robot. This bipedal robot can walk at a comfortable 2.5 miles per hour and even run at an impressive 7.5 miles per hour.
I don't want my assistant robot to be able to run or move fast. I think they should all move slowly.
With a carrying capacity of 44 pounds and a runtime of 2 to 4 hours, Neo Beta is well equipped to handle your various household tasks.
7 miles an hour?
It can run from your laundry room to upstairs.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know where it's running to, but it can run and it will walk. And it apparently, this is the first time I've seen, this is why I led with this one, first time I've ever seen an actual robot that's going to do your chores.
Right.
We've always said, that would be the dream, wouldn't it? And now it's here, and you're like, wait a minute.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I have a feeling it may kill me in my sleep. But I saw
iRobot, and I read Life of Human. I know it can happen.
You know it can happen.
Good luck outrunning it.
So there you go. That one is real. Next one. Democrats perplexed why candidate nobody ever voted for is slipping in the polls.
That was a story that I think that we just talked about.
Yeah, it's funny how much we did this in the first hour.
I'm going to say that's real.
Yeah, it's the B.
I'm going to go the B, but this one could also very well be real.
It is the B. According to House Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrats find it completely inexplicable why their candidate, who was never legally nominated, did not receive one single primary vote, is struggling to connect with voters. It just doesn't make sense, Jeffries said in a late-night campaigning struggle session with the Harris PR team. We've done everything we can to get this woman into a position of popularity. Truck stop videos of her eating Doritos, fake posters, technically not Kamala, but fake posters. Posters in Philadelphia that the Eagles support her. I just don't understand why she's not doing well in the polls. I mean, she didn't get any votes from anybody, even at our convention, but surely they can make too much of a difference, right? What's going on here?
I don't know if I've ever heard a B story that was so close to feeling real.
I know.
That could be from, you know, an opinion column
obviously,
on Fox or something.
There's a little bit of sarcasm,
right.
Obviously, but that was pretty darn close to feeling really real.
So that story sounded very similar to a James Carville interview that I heard earlier this morning, where he was like, she's not doing well. I'm sick and tired of this stuff getting out here.
Thank you, James Carville.
Thank you very much.
You didn't know we had him as a special guest, did you?
That was a spot-on impression, wasn't it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. To save time, Chicago Nightly News just going to report names of people not shot that day.
That's the B.
Tonight, we are happy to report that Dave Jenkins and Carol Smith have not been shot, said one reporter.
That's it.
And I guess that's it. We're done here. According to Milton Jameson, senior editor of the Chicago Nightly, the previous model of reporting the names of the citizens who were getting shot was simply too far of a labor-intensive and unsustainable task to continue. Next one. JD, thank you for comparing the Metro East to Chicago at the beginning of this.
Sorry, man.
I said you were doing better than Chicago.
And I just gave you the bar we have to go over. J.D. Vance starts new racist lie to attack immigrant children.
Oh, that's got to be the B.
I'm going B.
Hit it.
This is... Oh, no, this is real. This is real.
Oh, no.
It's from the New Republic.
It's from CBS.
I kid you not. I pulled the quotes from this article that they quoted. You know, this isn't, you know, my finding the actual quote. They actually put these in the article. Here's the quotes that they're basing that headline on. Yeah, J.D. Vance says, the other thing that is crazy about the border is that in the state of Michigan, I didn't know this statistically until today, there are 85,000 students in Michigan public schools who are the children of illegal aliens, Vance claimed. 85,000. Now think about that. Think about what it does to a school teacher or a poor school teacher who's just trying to get by with what they have, trying to educate their kids, and then you drop in a few dozen kids into that school, many of whom don't even speak English, Vance said. Do you think that's good for the education of American citizens? No, it's not. That's the quote. Let me read the headline again. J.D. Vance starts new racist lie to attack immigrant children.
That sounds like he was just quoting stats that's happening.
So what's the correct stat that they're saying that made it a lie?
They didn't.
Oh, no.
Sorry, we're not referencing that.
That is the fullness of the quote. Now, you'd think if there was more to this, that they were like, this is where he really gets... They would include that. They didn't. Yeah.
Where did it get racist?
There is nothing in this that is racist. And here's why I bring this up. If you want to have a real discussion about solving problems... People like this are who you're discussing the problems with.
You can't get
They're not talking about the issue at all.
Yeah.
You can't discuss solving an issue when somebody leads with, "Welp, you're a racist," and then the school teacher and the administration's going, "No, actually, hang on, this actually is a problem."
Right.
And they go, "Well, you're a racist too." Well, everybody's a racist.
It's funny how, you know, when he says that many don't speak English. And there's a lot of them that are automatically going to refer and say, "Well, he's just talking about those Hispanic kids." And it's like, wait. You have people from all over the world who are invading our border, invading our country, and ending up in these schools. They speak languages, in some cases, you've never even heard of before. This is not like they're just speaking Spanish or something.
Right. To your point, whenever Annie and I went down to the border last year, we asked the people at Catholic Charities, "Where are you seeing the most people from?" And they're like, "Right now, it's Ukraine."
Yeah.
These are people that are fleeing Ukraine, going to the southern border, and crossing illegally to get asylum.
You have people who are coming from Africa, mm-hmm. in small countries there, that speak tribal languages. That's why I'm getting into some of these languages are languages you've never even heard of before. Now, I'm not saying those are massive, you know, millions of people, but it just gives you the scope of you can have, you know, Eastern European, you could have Hispanic, but you could have tribal languages that are all coming in and invading your public schools, and the teacher, God love them, is having this sit down in front of them and say, "You have to teach them." I don't know how you're going to do that, but you have to teach them.
This isn't just happening in Michigan. This is happening everywhere. It's happening right here.
It is.
You can talk to, I mean, we are all married to school teachers. Brad and Annie and I are all married to school teachers. They all in the communities. They know teachers who are struggling with this.
Yep.
Now, my wife teaches at a private school, so they're not, you know, they're smaller, but they're not, they know people who are dealing with this all over the St. Louis area, both Missouri and Illinois. And it is primarily Hispanic kids speaking Spanish.
It is.
So I'm not going to run from that. That's a fact. That's actually happening. And he's referencing that. Now, he doesn't even say, but like you said, he doesn't say what language.
No, he said different languages.
People not speaking English. It's real. It's really happening everywhere. He's giving you real stats. One last thing here, and maybe we break and we can just come back and finish it. But the headline again, J.D. Vance starts new racist lie to attack immigrant children. The subhead to that, after I just read that quote to you, J.D. Vance just put a target on the back of every brown child in Michigan.
There you go. Boy. So not even knowing that that's the subtext of the headline, I just felt that would be the implication, because that's where they go. Because if you're going to say racist, you know what's amazing? Some races, they don't put under that headline. Like, I have a friend of mine who's the chairman of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce, right? We have an awful lot of Asian folks who have chosen to live in the St. Louis metropolitan area. They work really hard and they're very entrepreneurial. A lot of them start their own businesses. They're very self-sustaining. And when they do get into your public schools, they tend to bring the GPA up. That's a broad statement now, right? But that education is very important to them. Generally, you don't hear people refer to, if you talk about Asian Americans, that you're being racist. There are some groups that are not your traditional whites that you could talk about them and people won't call you a racist. There are others that if you just talk about the same context, but you're talking about a different race, automatically you're a racist. I'm like, why is that? Why is one, you're talking about minority populations, because the Asian population in St. Louis Metro is actually smaller than the Hispanic population, but not by much. And it's funny how one, you're racist talking about that, the other, you're not.
And final point on it, is leftist institutions, major leftist institutions have decided that actually racism is okay against some of those groups.
Yes.
AKA Harvard.
Exactly.
They were discriminating against Asian Americans exclusively. And that, I don't even think about that. But the J.D. Vance says this. That's racist.
Oh, geez. Welcome to America, everybody. So that's Wiggins America. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie Fry today. The big show rolls on next here at 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. You know, I found out Ryan had more bee stories. And if it's okay with you guys, can we keep rolling and do a few more of those? I feel like we only got through like three or four of those stories.
Is it okay with me if we continue Wiggins America?
I think so, Mike.
Tune in for more stupid questions asked by Mike that already know the answer to.
Yeah, this might be the longest bee or not to bee we've ever done. But these are actually like talkable subjects too.
That last one was a very much relatable subject that we could have just talked through without Wiggins America.
When subject. I found that story, I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
It's become a trope already to refer to any talk about immigration in the last month, especially, as, well, that's racist.
Right.
You know, you're going to an election. They're just trying to find anything they can against these people.
The trope. But, I mean, that's kind of the left-wing strategy. Mm-hmm. If a Republican talks about it, let's call them racist. They're racist. So anything, like, they start with the premise that you're a racist. And then if you say anything about anything, they're like, well, that was based out of racism.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because I know you're a racist already.
Yeah.
Because I'm working under the assumption that you're already a racist.
Inductive reasoning. I start.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Start with the end point and then I work my way backwards.
Well, that is very true. I mean, I brought up the Harvard example and there's lots of other random examples of, well, a Democrat representative from Ohio said something was really racist, but it doesn't really fit. Like, we know they're not really racist, so we're not going to run with that.
They just misspoke.
But if it's a Republican random representative from Ohio, it's like, ooh, let's make that national news.
Exactly.
Because it already fits our pre-existing condition.
It's that expression of, I've got my story straight, don't confuse me with facts.
Existing condition.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. It's,
I like that.
All right, more bee or not to bee stories. Again, I'm going to read the headline. You tell me whether this is fake, the Babylon Bee, or it's real.
Is Ethan coming back or is he done?
It's up to him.
Okay.
He actually quit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's done.
Just like that.
He walked out.
He was done. Okay. No return players. Sorry. Once you exit the premise, you are not
like
allowed to re-enter.
Yeah, this is not hockey. You can't come back in.
That's it.
It's baseball. You're out.
You went to the smoking area.
Kamala wants to help with hurricane relief, but DeSantis refuses to tell her where Florida is.
I'm going to go pee.
That is correct. This is the Babylon Bee. According to sources close to the situation, Harris showed perfectly good faith by calling DeSantis to offer her assistance to the people of Florida, but was rudely refused after DeSantis wouldn't even give her a single hint as to where Florida is located on a map. Quote from Kamala, I holistically tried to get him to tell me, but he couldn't take the joy.
He couldn't take the joke.
Kamala complained in a press conference. And then I asked him to give me the first letter of the state or states that might be around Florida, and he wouldn't do that either. What's with this jerk? I'm just trying to help, and all he wants to do is play politics. I'm from a middle-class family.
I'm from a middle-class family that was hit by a hurricane tornado.
So there you go. That's the Babylon Bee. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say, I don't know that I have ever seen a governor handle disasters better than DeSantis. I mean, the guy has been, I don't remember the last time you had two hurricanes hit in less than a month.
It was like 2004.
And he is just lined up everything. The press conferences and everything that I've heard him do, he walks in going, I'm in charge. Here's how this is going to happen. We've got this done, this done, this done, this done. And that's before the hurricane hit.
Well, it's like he's got a plan A, B, and C. He's
he
like,
does.
Okay, if it lands here, this is what we're going to do. These are the most likely scenarios of what happens when this hits, so we will need to respond in this manner. Ryan and I were talking about this before the show today. I have never seen a governor in general understand the nuts and bolts of wielding power and governing better than Ron DeSantis.
He does an amazing job. He
we actually
really
were
does.
We were having this conversation this morning. If you took, and again here, if you take R&D off of the labels of governors and politicians
right.
and everybody, and you just judge them on this standard, nobody's going to be perfect. First of all,
right?
This is a hurricane. We've said that about Milton. You know, in light of FEMA and all these things, nobody is going to handle this stuff perfectly. These are mega natural disasters,
right?
But if you took away all the other junk from what you already think about people, a lot of these governors do a pretty good job in the midst of this, and DeSantis
yes.
is absolute top of the heap.
I got to tell you, one of the things that has happened from this has kind of opened my eyes to how governors work together, right? Is I heard Glenn Youngkin yesterday doing an interview, and he was talking about the fact that, so there is a, I guess it's an internal states sharing site, where when you have a state that is facing a disaster, they can put on there, hey, we need boom, 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 and they can list it all out. And the other governors can send materials and people or whatever they need to that state to help out. And DeSantis put all this stuff on there beforehand, and Youngkin was going through, hey, you've got governors from like 20 states that have all sent material, people, all kinds of things to the state of Florida before the hurricane hit
mm-hmm.
that said, we are here, ready for you, whatever you need, we're ready to jump in, based on everything that he had pre-asked for.
Yes. What's really interesting about that is you can see that sort of happening, especially like with linesmen and stuff like that.
Yep.
I live near a highway, a major highway that, you know, you would take 64 to get down to,
okay,
you know, Florida from our area. But there's hotels that are dotted along the highway. And it's really interesting to see, okay, you're doing that. And then you're seeing power line trucks lined
yep.
up at these hotels on their way down to help out. My niece, I was over at her house last night, and their neighbor was telling me, he goes, yeah, we've got tons of people that are lined up and ready to go. We're sending people down now. Sometimes we have to wait so that we know it's safe for them to get into wherever.
Right.
But they do it. And like with Ron DeSantis down there, yeah, he's done all that. He lined up all that. Governors are helping. But the other thing that's really cool is everybody made fun of him for the Florida State Guard.
The Florida State Guard?
It's like the National Guard, but it is solely a Florida entity.
Oh,
When Helene hit, he was able to send the Florida State Guard to help North Carolina and Georgia. And now the Florida State Guard is back in Florida. It's almost like they're main mission is to recover and help with recovery from hurricanes and natural disasters. But they have been just absolutely phenomenal. And that's just something that he created. I don't know that it's something that other states have. And he got mocked for it when he initially announced it.
Well, that explains to me why after Helene went through the first time and went through Florida, Georgia, North Carolina and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the big damage from that storm, what I hear about the most, is North Carolina. And I started hearing all these reports about the Cajun Navy. Do you remember?
Yeah, the Cajun Navy.
So these guys, generally speaking, are the first ones in. Like, they get there before anybody, which is amazing, first of all. But these guys weren't in Florida. They were in North Carolina, but I understand why now, because Florida had a better support system set up. They've got a governor who understands how to do all this. I don't even remember the governor of North Carolina. I'm blanking on who that is right now.
I can't remember his name. He's a Democrat. I know that.
But it's just amazing of how well DeSantis has handled all of these natural disasters that have hit the state of Florida, and he keeps overperforming every time.
Mm-hmm.
And this last hurricane, it really worked out to be not as bad and worse all at the same time. So the storm surge that hit, they thought it was going to be a Category 5, and then at the last minute, it died to a Category 3. So it scaled down to a 3, which is really, really bad because it was a huge storm. When it was sitting over the center of Florida, you basically couldn't see the center of Florida. It would, all of Florida in the middle was covered up by the hurricane from the satellite photos, right? But it spun up so many tornadoes that they had never had that many tornadoes from a storm. And that's a separate thing that you generally don't think about. So I don't think about all this disaster that's going to happen from a tornado. But I heard this guy this morning on the news who was basically saying, hey, I lost everything, not from the hurricane. I lost it from a tornado that came through. It blew my windows out and blew everything out, except for the bedroom that he was in was the only thing surrounding him. All the rest of his house was gone.
Wow, nice pick. Yeah. Good room.
Yeah. God likes you. God loves you every day, but sometimes he likes you.
You know,
for that
guy, he liked it. We don't say it, but I know I saw a lot more people praying about this hurricane, and it's just interesting. You don't know. I don't know. But it's just interesting that at the last second it was decategorized so quickly.
It was decategorized, and it shifted south of Tampa.
Yeah.
So much to the point where they had, what do they call it, reverse storm surge?
Yes.
So the way storm surge works is basically it's where the water is being blown by the winds. And whenever it shifted south, the rotation of the hurricane was actually blowing water out of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it pulled it out of the bay.
Yeah, and so they didn't have the storm surge issue. They had rain flooding, but they didn't have the storm surge. And they were talking 20-plus feet of storm surge.
Right.
And it's just like just that little shift.
It's really interesting. A
couple miles.
Yeah, it's neat. It's certainly worth looking at. You go, oh, okay, I'm going to pray then. I don't know how much difference I'm making with a hurricane, but it can't hurt.
What's the old saying? There are no... what's it called when you... No atheist in foxholes.
Yes.
Right? So you get to that point of you're looking at this storm and you're thinking, I know what just went through. Now I got another one that's bigger than the one I just went through. I'm pretty much at my wit's end. Guess where I'm going? Right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, you start praying.
In the spirit of be or not to be.
Sorry, get back to it.
No, it's good discussion. But Kamala not being able to find Florida was the B story. Kate has chimed in here online and says Kamala can't find the southern border either. Now, I
well
want
done,
to point
Kate.
Out, yeah, I mean, she's doing be or not to be.
Just tell
stuff.
Me the state that the border's in. Tell me what that state starts with.
Now, this is actually fake news, though, because we do not have a southern border, so that's false. That is the B. All right, next one. Kamala announces, this is another hurricane story. Kamala announces plan to tell Hurricane Milton, don't. That's correct. This is the B. The vice president's message to Hurricane Milton was reportedly met with gale force winds, flash flooding, and flying debris. Despite Harris's bold words, Milton somehow continued inland undeterred. Meteorologists praised Harris for her decisive action, but said they worried her tactics may not defeat the hurricane. Quote, the vice president is a great leader, and we appreciate all she's done to mitigate the risks of Milton. Unfortunately, the hurricane seems to be unfazed by her stark warning, said meteorologist Peter Wilkes. We are all shocked by the storm's complete and utter disregard for the vice president's stern words.
Don't.
It's don't.
Just like how Iran listens to Joe Biden.
Iran, migrants,
Russia.
She told them all, don't.
All of them. Don't. What's your advice? Don't.
Don't.
Thank you.
And then she like pauses. Am I going to say something else? I don't think so. Don't.
It's Nancy Reagan's just say no. Do you want a hurricane? Just say no.
Yeah. Have we thought of that? Just telling it not
to
come?
Tell a hurricane? Hey, I'm sorry, we're all full here?
Yeah, really.
Take that elsewhere.
Next one, a Quiet Place video game alerts aliens with your noises.
Wait, alerts aliens with your noises?
Yeah, the movie A Quiet Place.
Okay. I'm going to say that's a real story.
I think that's a real game.
This is a real game. It sounds super cool. A Quiet Place video game alerts aliens with your noises. So Saber Interactive and Storm and Games hash storm mind games, have released a new live-action trailer that demonstrates the Road Ahead's mic detection feature.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
This is an optional setting, so you don't have to use it. But if you want the full immersive game, if you want to go full method when you're playing a Quiet Place game, then even the slightest sound in your room gives away your position to the aliens.
That sounds amazing. There's a game that I play, usually play it about this time of year, because it's called Phasmophobia, and it's kind of the same principle. You're ghost hunting, and you got to try to like get the ghost to reveal itself, collect information, figure out what kind of ghost it is. And part of the way you do that is by yelling out its name and all this other stuff. But also then it'll start hunting. And if it starts hunting, you have to hide from it. You have to be absolutely quiet and your mics are hot.
Oh, man, these games are so scary.
It's so good. And the audio design is amazing, because you'll be like walking through with your UV flashlight trying to find evidence or whatever. And you'll just hear like... And it's like right in your ear.
Man, Silent Hill games.
Oh, so good.
I'll just watch. I don't even play them. I'll just get online and I'll watch a playthrough of a Silent Hill game just to see how it goes, how it ends. And even then I'm like, I'm not even getting control of this game.
Silent Hill game?
Yeah, Silent Hill is a very popular game franchise.
Okay.
And they're scary. They're very ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really know. Like, you're just kind of walking around empty cities at night. And
I was this many years old before I knew that that existed.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait for that game to come out, because the Twitch streams are going to be amazing.
Hey, make a video out of this. Maybe we'll... It will hit the algorithm. Last one.
Hang on. I do love the InfoDude comment of kind of like Benjamin Netanyahu. The hurricane doesn't seem to be listening to Kamala.
Yeah. last one before we get to the break here. And I'm hitting this one, but I feel bad about it. I kind of want to wait till next week, but we got 2 minutes here, so I'm going to do it.
You won't be here Monday. So.
Well, yeah, but I will be here Friday. Annie's not here, and this really would go over better with another woman in the room. It's all guys.
Another woman?
A woman.
Which one, Ryan?
I was like, hey, who's identifying? Because it ain't me. I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm going to read it. Despite loss, first female NHL coach says she was happy to see her team score so many touchdowns.
Oh, you would get in so much trouble.
Oh, you know, wow. Maybe it is better that I'm doing it this week.
Yes.
I don't know. I think you should bring that up next week just to get her opinion.
This is the Babylon Bee. Seattle Kraken assistant coach Jessica Campbell, the first female on any NHL coaching staff, said she was disappointed in the team's 3-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues.
Hey! That's right, St. Louis Blues.
But the fact that the team scored 2 touchdowns left her feeling encouraged about the team's prospects for the season. So there you go. That is the B or not the B.
I love that. So Wiggins America Extended Edition, new time frame that we moved to just for today and today only, because our interview with Ryan Smeltz ran a little longer. We are going to talk about the poll question that is up today. We'll talk to you more about that on the other side. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.